stopping our son, we'll say Johnny, from beating up on Ethan, right? Our other son, Ethan. We want that stop. We want that fight to stop, but where do we go after that? How do we look different than a loving Mormon mother who wants that fight to stop? Or how do we differ from a conscientious Jewish man who wants their kids to stop? How are we as Christians, what do we do after the fact, after we stop the fighting? What do we do after that? How do we teach our kids grace through that trial? So just things like that is a wonderful thing that these two women use. I recommend this book to get. So today, we are being an instrument of change. And I talked to Charlie last night about 8 o'clock, I think, and he was still in Binghamton. Gladys was driving him home, so he's already started making rules for the house. She drives him around. It goes against my grain. No, it doesn't. But, yeah, Charlie had a chance to talk to me, and the reception was good. So he says they're not even going to be able to go to church today, and I told him I'll pray for him first, and then I'll forgive, you know, everybody will forgive them for not coming to church today. But they're moving. Everything is the big move today for them. They're getting out of the house, moving into Gladys's house. And so I had to talk to him about some things because Charlie doesn't have an email either. He's lost that too, so I had to go over a bunch of things with him. So he'll be back next week. And so because of that, at the end of this lesson, I'll be thankful and you'll be joyous to receive a whole bunch of extra homework, because I didn't give you much 2 weeks ago. I only gave you one question last week. This week I'll give you four questions so you can really help Charlie out to take up some time for discussion, because he's still, this whole week's going to be a wreck for Charlie. So help him out next week. He still has something to start out. He is a doctor, right? Because he went to school for a pharmacist, and he is in love right now, so he's Dr. Love. So next week, he's the... You like that one? So he's the man who's going to teach our first one, love. We're going to four of them, love, know, speak, and do. And that's going to finish out our classes, but he's going to start next week. So let's do some review. Yes, I do. We are people changed by seeing Christ in new ways that reveal our emptiness and of our own agendas and glory, and what that glory seeks to promote, which is basically ourself. Our most important encounter is not a counselor to remove a problem, but it is with Christ who provides a way through this trial. This is all just review from last week. And God gives places his glory on us so that our lives would reveal him here on earth through our marriage, through parenting, through our friendships, our coworkers. So that is some of the review. I got some more, but I want to stop and pray right now before we go any further. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you that you are continually giving us grace each and every day, that you are patient with us, and that you're loving towards us. And Lord, as you are to us, may we be also to the ones around us. May we be patient. May we be loving and gentle. May we continually show them who you are, because you are the giver of all good gifts. It is not us. So help us to be just messengers and not promoters of ourselves. Help us to learn how to take the truths that we learn and to be instruments in your hands. Lord, I thank you for your word that gives us truths that we can rely on. And I just pray and ask for a continued desire each and every day to meditate on your word and memorize your word so that it is in our heart. So that when we do speak to others, it is your words and not ours. I pray these things in your name. Amen. The last thing that we ended up with last week was I went through this little diagram of when you have a problem. So we have a person who has, you know, some kids that are unruly, or their marriage is a little bit, rocky or whatnot. And so you see how they sit. They're like sitting far apart, you know, and you kind of see that in church. Like, man, I want to help them out. You know, so all the couples are going to get close together. So you can see the negative fruit. You know, we're not dumb people. We can sense when something's different. And so we see that. God gives us that innate ability to see the oddities with others, not so that we can, you know, look down on them, but so that we can help them. And so we need to see this negative fruit. But what we're most inclined to do and what others want is a Band-Aid. They just want the external fixed. They want whatever problem it is just to be removed, because if that's removed, they'll feel better. They want the circumstances or the person or even their emotions to change, because if that change, they'll be better, right? They'll feel much better. Well, granted, when people have problems, there are some things that need to be changed. There's external things that need to be different. You men need to be opening up the doors for your wives and show them, as you know, a gift from God. But really where we want to get at is you men really need to be opening the doors of your wife's heart. Be a Christian leader, okay? So that's where we want to focus on. We don't just want to focus on the Band-Aid, you know, just make your wife happy by opening that door for them. But more importantly, get deeper. We need to be much deeper with our help to one another. We are sinful and we're flawed, more so than we know it. And it should humble us to realize that the only way for us to become holy was for God Himself to send His beloved Son to suffer for us. That's humbling. That's the only way that we could be holy. So stop pursuing self-esteem or one of them other ones, self-actualization from Maslow, thinking you can do better, because we are the cause of the greatest suffering the world has ever known, and that's the suffering of the Lamb of God. And so as you see yourself in that first, you'll know that just personal reformation won't happen. A Band-Aid's just not going to make it. We need death is really what we need, and that death of Jesus Christ. And rely on His death, not on me getting better, but knowing who He is will help us to become who we are supposed to be. So that temporary fix produces temporary change. And so this week I'm going to focus on the heart change and the four main aspects of discipleship that you and I all can do, and that is to love one another in a new way, more than just chit-chat. We can know more about them, not just their family size or, you know, their wedding anniversary or whatnot, but to know what their desires are, to know what their habits are, so that we can kind of expect, you know, what they're going to do, so that we can help them when they react to in a certain way. We can start speaking truths to them, and then all of us, we can be more doers of the word and not just hearers only. And once we focus on the heart and not just Band-Aid over it, there will be positive fruit, because we're always relying on Jesus Christ. So we know we need to get at the heart, but we're always prone to fix things externally. So the question last week was, what are some reasons why external change is appealing to human beings? So that was your guys' homework. Why are we so prone to be attracted to the external change? Why is that appealing to us? Why do we like that? Even though we know we need to read the Word, we need to have that heart, but it's just easier to find ways that are outward. Go ahead, Roxy, and then Sheila's next.
It's easy.
Easy how?
It's easy to change externally as opposed to internally. It's easy to change our outward habits rather than our internal habits.
Mm-hmm. For us or for them that we're helping? Like for the person you're helping or for us as...
Both.
Both. Yeah, we can't even change our insides at all. That's where we have to give up. It's not that it's easier. We think we can feel better, and so we're actually changing inside, but really, we're just faking ourselves out. You picked up on that. We can't change ourselves. That's why we have to rely on Christ. Sheila?
External change suits our flesh. It satisfies our flesh. If we want a person to change externally, sometimes it's so that we'll be more comfortable, not so that they'll be inwardly changed.
Yeah. Yeah, we want them to act a certain way around us. So, you know what? I'm going to help you. Because when you're acting right, I'll be much happier. Give some specifics, too, if you can.
Since we were little, if you ever watch any TV or listen to the radio.
Oh, I don't watch any.
I know, I don't either. But I've heard that that's what they inundate you with. This toothpaste makes you look better. These clothes make you look better. This car makes you get the best looking women and this and that and the other thing, and that's all we're inundated with on TV since we're little.
Yep. Yeah, so the world, the temptation of the world is around us all the time, and not only just the TV, but everyone else who's watching TV, they come in, you're either humming a jingle for the commercial or something like that, you know, or what, it's just on our minds. Go ahead, who had the mic?
I got it right here. The whole thing of it is that we're not submitting to Jesus Christ with an external change. You know, we're doing what we want to do, and we're it's appealing to rely on ourselves, not to rely on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Do you think it's also might be like a lack of faith, like we don't think God can really do the change?
Well, of course,
it might take too long.
Well, you know, it's our pride is the problem. You know, we rely on ourselves. We feel we can do it. And it's God. We got to rely on Jesus Christ to do it. We have to submit for him to do it. When we rely upon ourselves, we're not pleasing God. We're just pleasing ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. And, Marcia and then Terry.
I think I can kind of almost give you an example of this. Somebody comes to you, and what they're going to be doing is they're going to be saying they're doing all of this, this, and this. And you think, boy, they're really doing good. It's all external. But in their heart, when they go home, they're actually indulging back in that secret sin that they don't want to bring out to you, because therefore they would have that conviction that they really need that heart change. Mm-hmm.
So how does this relate to when we help people? We're actually looking for fruit, right? I mean, we're Christians and we're inspecting people's fruit. I hate that word, but we are to bear fruit. And so other Christians, we know them by their fruits, okay, other people or ourselves. And so really, we most generally, that's all we can see is the externals. And so, like I said earlier, when we see the differences, when we see that couple kind of, they're sitting on this side of the pew, and that, we're looking at the externals and we can see where That's a window to the heart. But then when we start seeing the externals looking better, like, okay, God's given me, you know, some sign of progress here. I'm actually helping this person out because I see they're reading their Bible. I see they're starting to do things. But can we get caught up in just alone relying on them externals? And there needs to be a balance there. We need to, help out with the externals, help out this couple or help them with their children, whatever the case is. But also, we can't just rely on that because, like Marcia just said, churches are full of awesome little proper disciplers who are actually Pharisees. We got a bunch of them downstairs. They're all our kids. And we teach them every day what to do right, don't we? And it's hard to focus on where their heart is, what really is their motive. Because, quite frankly, we got a lot of things that we fill our minds up in our activity, in our day up. And so if we see little Johnny, he's not beating up Ethan anymore. Whew, praise God, you know, his heart, he's better now. I see a lot of change. But really, he can just be hiding it from you. Because around the corner, when they go wherever, he could be pounding on Ethan all the time. You just don't know it. Or he could be pounding him in the shoulder, you know, in the back, so you can't see the bruises on his face. We do things, you know, to hide our sin all the time and then justify it. So, yeah, thanks, Marcia, for bringing that up. I hope I was following along with what you're saying. Okay. Go ahead, Terry.
Sometimes as human beings, we are not We don't allow ourselves to get involved with somebody else's lives. We see what they're doing, and we just, we it's like putting a Band-Aid on their lives to tell them what they should do, but we really don't experience what they're really going through because we don't want to know what they're going through.
Yeah, keep them at a distance a little
bit. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
keep
them at a distance. I won't really pick on your problems because I really don't want you looking at mine either.
Yeah.
So we're going to, I'll chit-chat with you. I'll be real nice to you, happy, but, you know, I'm not going to really get into some deep stuff with you because I started telling you stuff. Boy, you know what's going to happen. I just opened the door. You got to tell me stuff now. Yeah. No, that's a good one. All right. Well, here is that's a good one. Anybody have more to say about the homework? I think we pretty much covered that. That was good. I'm glad you guys did that. This one here is, this is an example, if I can get this. Here's an example of what not to do. It is a little funny, but, oh no. You might have to do that, Terry.
Is this your video?
Yeah, just hit. I got it. Turn that up too so people can hear it.
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Still being very delighted about it.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no. We don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes. And then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't make change.
Oh no! Sorry, that was me. I touched this thing. Let's here. Sorry, guys. Hopefully that'll play from the.
Just take it. We'll start over.
Dr. Switzer?
Come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes.
Sorry about that. You have to prepare for this one more time.
Very delighted about it.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no. We don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes. And then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow, okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them in into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are. Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
Yes.
Then stop it!
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No. We don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! Nut of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No. No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it. What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a... big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. There's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! How are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook!
Stop it! You stop it! You stop it!
What's the problem, Catherine?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
All right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
All right, so that's what not to do, okay? So, but aren't we driven to kind of do that sometimes? I mean, when people, we just, stop it. Stop the things that you're doing, right? That was more fun than anything else, and it actually is taking up some time. But just see ourselves in that predicament and try not to do that. Helping each other takes time. It's not 2 words or 10, and it's not 5 minutes. It's a lifetime. And so don't be like Bob Newhart, although he is funny. What we do have is an ambassador, though. And I explained some of this last week. I just want to fill this out a little bit more this week and then dive right into the four aspects, love, know, speak, do. So as an ambassador, we get to represent Jesus. We represent Jesus because he is our model. He's our example to help others and to disciple others. And so there's three things I just want to go over. They're not processes, just three things that are in the scriptures. The first was Christ's message. What did he say? What was his message, and how can I represent him as a king through my speech? And so where I could go is Matthew chapter 5 and all the way through 7. Do we know what those chapters focus mainly on? It was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Okay? And so read through that. Read through what Jesus said. Read through what he talked about of anger. Well, he started out with the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are meek. He talked about lust, about contentment, our divorce and marriages, how we are to love our enemies, how we are to give to the needy, and how we are to pray. Many things he talked about. Laying up treasures in heaven, not being anxious. I did want to leave off on the end of chapter 7. You can go there if you want. You don't have to. But he talked about the gate, how that is enter into the narrow gate, for it is wide. The way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter are many. But the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few. And so Jesus' message promotes the unpopular way. The popular way is what we teach are taught every day, right? Maslow's theory of self-esteem, the bombardment of how, like Tom said, you know, how you're supposed to present yourself better with either toothpaste or clothes or girl, whatever it is. But Jesus' way is not that way. It is narrow. It is wide open for everyone else because that's the way the world is. But Jesus is telling us the way to life is narrow and hard. When we counsel or disciple each other, or when others disciple us, it's hard. He also ends out chapter 7, that Sermon on the Mount, with the house. And he says, 7, verse 24, he says, everyone who then hears these words of mine, the whole Sermon on the Mount, of all the things that he was teaching through those days on the hill, he says, whoever does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And he says, then the rain fell, and then the floods came, trials, tribulations, right? And the winds blew hard, things out of your control happened in your life, and they beat on that house, but it didn't fall. Because it had been founded on what? The rock. So we need our lives to be founded on Jesus Christ. Not steps, not procedures, but Jesus Christ. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And then when the rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow, all these trials, when they come and they beat on you, you'll be blown away. It destroys you. And you're hopeless. So remember what Jesus says. Think about his message when we talk to others. So we represent Jesus by his message. What did he say? Oh, Luke is also the parables, talks a lot about the parables. So read through the parables. Find out, you know, what does it mean when he talks about the sower? You know, yeah, there are different soil types. You got the pathway. And the birds ate them up in the rocks, and the sun burns that up in the thorns, and they're choked up. And then the good soil. Really, it's the difference between a prepared heart and an unprepared heart who receives the word. And we need to pray to God that God prepares that heart. So when we just give the message that it takes, because we're not the ones that are going to, we can't make that soil good. Only God makes that heart fertile and to receive his word. And when that happens, it's 100-fold. Remember when people do come to us, or or ourselves when we get depressed and we think that our sin is too great, or we're just going to have to go over this one. I don't have the faith enough to believe that God's going to forgive me for this sin. We have to remind ourselves that God is filled with joy, like he says in the parable of the coin, the lost coin, that when he finds that one repentant sinner, he is filled with joy. Just like if you found your $100 bill that you lost on the ground, you're filled with joy. Just one sinner, God is filled with joy with when they repent. So repent for whatever sin that you have. Don't hold on to that. And we can tell that to others. And we also represent, so I need to speak God's word to the people. We also represent Christ Jesus as King by his methods. He told Nicodemus what? What did he tell Nicodemus? How should he be saved? You must be born again. So there needs to be a new creation. And so our methods should be totally different than the world's. All right? I am not worshiping a thing. I don't come here and worship the worship team. What do? I worship God, and he is what? He is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so remind ourselves and others who we talk about that it is God. It is not the things around us. It is not the 12-step process or the two words of stop it or whatever it is. And our methods should also be patient and tender-hearted, like Jesus was when he said that he is a God. He said that to the woman at the well, where he took time when he was hungry, very hungry, with the guys. They couldn't handle it. They just took off and got food because their stomachs were growling. He didn't need food. He stopped and stayed with that woman. He gave of himself. He sacrificed even a meal that he probably hadn't had in a couple days because they'd been traveling for a while. He gave of himself, sacrificed himself so he could help this lady see her sin, speak truth to her. He tells us in the methods that whoever, to the apostles, we've been learning about this in Mark, that whoever saves his life will what? You'll lose it, right? And if you lose your life in this world, you will save it. Because Jesus come to what? He came to this world to suffer. And so we are to suffer also, like he did. Who's your neighbor? That was actually one of the parables. If you see someone who's hurt, see someone that's lying on the ground, or you see someone who's down and out and needs a helping hand, are you going to be like the priest or the Levite and go along the other side? Or are you going to be like the Samaritan that stops? Okay, you got a lot of things going on, but you stop and you help this person, and not only just help them, but give whatever extra that's going on, because everybody's got baggage, and even the person you're helping is probably has some baggage there, and you give more. You just, whatever it takes. That's the mentality. That's the method we need to have. As an ambassador, how did he respond to people? Those are the scriptures, how he responded, John and in Luke. So I need to work like he did. I need to work as Christ worked. So as an ambassador, I represent him with my message, how I do things, my method, and my his model, or basically his character. So how do I represent Christ's character? Why did Jesus do what he did? And if I find out that, then I can understand what I need to be doing. He counted it joy to be counting himself less significant than others, to the point of death. He counted it a joy to be suffering the full cup of wrath for all of us when we hated him, and still do at times when we don't have faith that he is our God and can take us through trials and tribulations. He tells us not to let corrupt talk come out, but to build others up. That's how I can have a character like Christ. Stop finding that thing that I can look down at him on, but build him up. What thing is it that irks me about whoever? Pray to God that I can be humble enough to know that because I see that in that other person, guess what? It's in me, right? and know that I also need that help so that I'm not judging this other person, that it's really me who needs to take the log out of my own eye before I can do a little microscopic eye surgery on the other person. Help them see what they need to see. Help them be building them up, and it's not 5 minutes with them. It's going to take a while to come alongside these people. It takes a while for people to come alongside of you, doesn't it? Huh? How many times does God have to throw a rock at your head before you figure things out? We are to walk in love. Continue to trust who? Who did Jesus trust in when he knew that he had to die and suffer that night, when he was praying and his tears of blood? He trusted in the one who judges all. That's who we need to trust in. So that is our representative. That's how we are as ambassadors. And we can't help others until we understand who we are representing. That's why I'm hitting you with this again and again and again. Just, it is Christ who we represent. And it is in Christ all things happen. Iran represented his attitudes. That was the thing. So we represent Christ. Once we do that, we can now get at the heart. So this is the heart change. When we see the problem already that God has given us, then we can look at the heart. And we know the four main things. It was the love, know, speak, and do. I want to remind you guys, these are not four steps. Okay, you don't start with love and end up with do. Okay, these are just four aspects of ministry that you can be an ambassador for Christ. And they come from just observing Christ. They come from the last slide I just had. All them scriptures where we represent Christ as a model, his message, and how he interacted, how he responded to people. So these aren't just things that we come up on our own. These are just based on what Christ did. And so I'll focus on love. We are called to build relationships with others. It's not just, like I said earlier, coming into church and sitting next to whoever we like to sit next to. Maybe we know their anniversary or their child's birth date. But to come alongside people that may not make us feel so comfortable all the times. Build the relationships with others so God can actually start working change in them and you. Galatians 1 tells us to restore those who are fallen into sin. You guys know 1 Corinthians, right? What is some of the aspects of love? Love is what? Patient. Love is what? Kind. Love is what? What's that? Yep. Not boastful or envious. Yep. Vengeful. It's long-suffering. It is gentle. Meek. What else? See, that list wasn't even exhaustive. We can keep going. What was that you said, Pat? Not rude. Yep. Or arrogant. This is what love is. Don't be tempted to fall into sin when you look down at others. Be humble. Don't be boastful. Don't be arrogant or rude. Don't insist on your own way. That's what love is. Insist on being helpful to others. Rejoice in truth. Be able to bear all things, believe all things, and hope in things, and endure all things. That's what love is. Endure the trials and tribulations that comes. Because really, love never ends. Okay, all the other things will pass away, but love never ends. This is what love is. I'm not going to go on with this because Dr. Love's going to have this next week. But build relationships to where God can start the work of change and it can thrive. God has committed himself to be our God and to take us as his people. And so we need to be committed to building relationships with others. A perfect place is this church, too. But the thing is, church is not perfect, though, is it? It's messy and mostly inefficient. And the people that are in it are full of sin, right, still? Not overcome by sin, but full of it still. And we get to know and love each other here, but we also get to know and love each other in ways that we need to have to forgive each other for the sins and look through past that so that we can help each other, so that others can help us. Relationship with God is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And so we have to know that. Build relationships with others. And so after we build relationships, we have to know a person where their heart is. Not the superficial things, although it is good to know when a wedding anniversary or when a birthday happens, because that does brighten up somebody's day. All right? So you need to know these things, but don't stop there. Know what they like. Be able to see when they come in, if where their countenance is, if it's up or down, so you can help them out. Seek to know where change can happen. A lot of times, well, response to Mr. Newhart, he said, stop it. He's just telling that woman to stop it. But really, Proverbs tells us to hear the whole matter out. She only said, I have a problem with this. Well, he did not ask her anything else. First of all, if she's a Christian or not, because that's a big thing. He didn't ask her anything that probed the matter any deeper. He just wanted to be done with that. Do we find ourselves that way too? When people come to us with problems, we want the quick, because I'm busy, man. You know, I got to work, I got family, I got things, you know, I got things. So I'll hurry up and help you. I'll give it myself for you about 5 minutes. No, we need to hear the whole matter out, Proverbs tells us, because if we don't, it's folly and shame to us. It's also an intelligent heart who acquires knowledge. And it's the ear of the wise who seeks knowledge. So get to know the people around you. Don't just build a relationship and that's it, but seek to know them. You can't minister to people you don't know. You can't minister to what they really need. You'll hear what they want, and that's what? The Band-Aid, right? And if you just minister to the Band-Aid, it's just temporary. We gotta know where their true need is. And this is, so when you get to know what they want, you can predict certain things about that person, and you can help them out. So get below the surface. We all know chit-chat's fun, but it's not real fellowship. And so, love, know, speak. Once we get to know the person, after we built the relationship and take time, we have to start saying things. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us his divine power is granted to all of us, not just some special people, all of us, okay? His divine knowledge is granted to all of us, right? Right here. It is all that we need for a life of godliness. And it's been granted to us to reveal that to others. So when we speak to others, may it pertain to what God has given us to know. And preach his glory, his excellence, not my easy ways. Well, I've done it this way, so maybe you could copy me. No, don't do that. Point to God's glory and his excellence. You're an agent of seeing what a person is not seeing, so that you can help them see what God wants them to repent of. That's what we're there to speak. Don't look down at them, because guess what? Before you know it, when you start telling them what they need to repent of, you're going to have to repent of the same types of things. What does God want this person to see that they don't? That's really what you need to start speaking of. Not what I think they need. What does God want this person to see? And then, of course, go right to the Gospels. They're full of Christ's examples. And then we can do, once we start speaking, Once we know what's in the Word and start speaking that, we can start doing. Help your friend, help yourself to apply all these insights of what God wants. James 1:22, does anybody know that one? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So, just do something, okay? I'm going to take Nike's little advertisement. Just do something, okay? Be an active doer. I think I mentioned this before, Titus 2:1. But as for you, teach what is sound with according to doctrine. So, some of us that may already have our act together, supposedly, we need to help others to respond in personal ways that God has gifted us. We all have different gifts, right? I have a different gift than Dave. Monty has a different gift than Keith and Kay and Ralph. Each one of us has different gifts. And we're to promote our different gifts with each other. I can't serve the way Norma or even Ethan can. I can't get up there and play a guitar. But I need to promote what Ethan can do for God, because God has gifted him in a certain way, and he can help me to promote the gift that God has given myself. So these are the four things. That's all I wanted to talk to you about today. What time is it? We got time? All right. I did want to give you an example. Is that on here? Any questions? Sorry. Any questions before I go on? Man, I guess I'll have to stop this. I want to spend time on homework. I just want to tell you, when Stacy and I, this is what helps Stacy and I to communicate real well. And sometimes we don't do this, but even like a couple weeks ago, we brought this back up. There are four rules to keep ourselves from not doing this. Now, these are four steps, but this is not going to make you better, right? This is only going to help you, because you already are relying on Christ, and you're humbled and submitted because he suffered for you. But even through that, I still need to do external things. I need to be honest, right? I don't need to lie anymore. So because of Christ, I can be honest with Stacy and tell her what's on my mind. Okay, if something's up, I could tell her that. I can keep current. That means I don't have to bring up the past. If I let it go. If I didn't, I don't bring up last month or last year, because that was the time I should have talked about it. Okay, so stop it. Just let it go. Don't bring it up. Just take care of today's problems today. That's it. You can't do any more than that. Okay? I need to attack the problem and not Stacy. Okay? That is hard sometimes. Because sometimes she gets in my way, right? Don't people get in your guys' way? Don't they do things that kind of make you a little irky? All right? Huh? They get under your skin? But don't attack the person. Attack the problem. Where are they struggling? How can you help them? Be constructive. That's exactly what we're talking about when, just read Ephesians 4:25 through 32 and you'll know what I'm talking about constructive behavior rather than destructive. Because that's usually where we're at, is we're usually trying to destroy each other. I should probably take a whole class and go over these four rules. This is like a three-day seminar. Act, don't react. I'm stuck on this one because I usually wait for Stacy to do something and then I'll react. Okay? Do any of you guys do that? No. Yeah, you guys act first. Act on the problem, okay? You need to forgive and have patience. Don't react and hold grudges and actually murder them with silence like I like to do. I don't kill them, but I pretend they're dead, won't talk to them. Don't do that. So these are four things. And don't worry if you don't get all these notes, because really I am going to teach on this, and maybe after we're done. Because this is pivotal to be communicating with your spouse or your kids or your boss or anyone. Homework. I want you guys to be thinking of this. Help Charlie out next week. I want you guys to go over some of these things. How has God dealt with you according to love, know, speak, and do? How has He lovingly built a relationship with you? How has He come to let you know more about Him? And how does He speak truth through His active living word in your life? And how has He compelled you to do the things that you need to do? Pick a specific thing or whatever it is, but just, you know, come in with something to say to Charlie and the rest of the class. And then, because He's perfect and we're not, do the same thing with others, but points of weakness and strength that others have. When others deal with you according to the love, know, speak, do. Okay? And don't name names, but, you know, we can point out weaknesses. Because we all need to hear where we're weak, right? When we interact with others, and the things that we do get right, sometimes we don't think it's right, and we'll just go to something else. So when there's... when we know strengths has helped each all of us, we all need to hear this. So bring some of this in. Here's a hard one. How have you dealt with others according to lovingly come alongside them, knowing them better than just their name, speaking truth to them, Bible truth, not A plus or 1 plus 1 is 2, but the Bible. And then how'd you compel them to do what they should do? And your points of weakness and strength. And if you can't do those, if you want to do this, just have you been functioning as an ambassador? And where? Bring out where God's placed you. Let's have some discussion next week on that. One last one is personal ministry opportunity. This is not for next week. This is for you guys. For the rest of this course, and hopefully for the rest of your lives, is to, for your own personal ministry, to start doing this, because this is what we want. We want all of us to become better disciple makers. Choose a setting. Concentrate your thoughts, concentrate your thinking and your focus on a family member, a friend, maybe even in small group, as a whole group, maybe yourself. How can you describe the people that are involved in your small group? Or let me stay with small group for now. You can do anything you want, a friend or a family member. So in your small group, pick your small group. How can you describe the people? See, do you know them? Do you know about them? Write them things down about the people that are in your small group. What's involved? What happens when you guys get together? You know, how do people do their certain gifts that God has given them? Describe the people. Strategize a plan of what you were learning about loving them, knowing them, speaking truth, and doing. And how do you speak and act differently towards these people now in your small group? And then pray. Don't just see these, you know, see what you can do. Strategize how you can better be a discipler, but to pray for God, because you're not going to do anything unless God gives you the strength and the power. Not only to change, help change others, but really it's to change for yourself. Not you changing them, but pray for humility so God will change you. We're depending on Christ, not ourselves. So that's like a long term, that's your thesis paper you can do, a little ministry opportunity. But next week, do the first three or four there. How has God dealt with you? How have others dealt with you? How are you dealing with others according to loving them, knowing them better, speaking truth and doing, helping them apply the truths? And that's it. Any last, you guys will be able to do all that. That's a lot of homework. It kind of makes up for like no homework 2 weeks ago and just one homework assignment last week. All right? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this class. I just pray and continue to pray that you will use your word and open our hearts, all of us, to become better disciple makers, to rely on you alone. to know that you are the great high king, and we represent you in this world. You have given us a privilege to be an ambassador to you. And we do represent. We either represent ourselves or we represent you. And I ask that you give us the faith to believe that it is you who are above all things. You have a plan for our lives, and you will accomplish your will, even when things look tough and bad. And give us that faith to believe so that we promote you through times of trial and through times of good. I pray these things in your name. Amen.